it or not. Yes, believe it or not, pages from the sketchbook of Robert L. Ripley. And here speaking for Bob Ripley is the Dean of Newsreel Commentators, Gregory Abbott. Thanks, Bill Griffith, and welcome everyone to the Believe It or Not Radio Auditorium, a collection of astounding facts discovered by Bob Ripley in his never-ending search for the truth. The truth which is always more unbelievable than fiction. And now Bob Ripley invites us to open his amazing radio sketchbook to page one, today's Believe It or Not quiz question.
And what is the question, Greg?
Today's question is this. What North American city has more windmills than all of Holland?
A North American city with more windmills than all of Holland? Well, there just ain't no such
thing. Oh, yes, there is. And I'll give you Bob Ripley's answer at the close of today's program.
Okay. But right now, what's on the Believe It or Not agenda?
Today, we're going to hear some of Bob Ripley's Believe It or Nots about painting.
Oh, well, I'm a dabbler in the art myself. I collect prints.
Well, good. If you've ever been in the Mellon Institute in Washington, you've probably seen the $27 million collection of paintings that Andrew Mellon gave to the United States government.
Oh, yes.
Well, the masterpiece of the group, you remember, is the beautiful Madonna of Alba. For this single painting, Andrew Mellon paid $1,166,000. Believe it or not.
It's a lot of hay to pay for a picture.
Yes, it is. And it's even more incredible when you learn that Raphael, the artist who painted this priceless picture, received exactly $1 a day, or a total of $50 for his work on it.
$50 for $1.5 million job? Oh, that boy was being exploited.
That's nothing compared to what the great master Albrecht Dürer received for his portrait of a young man, which recently sold for $200,000.
I suppose he got buttons, huh?
No, oysters. Exactly one dozen oysters.
Huh?
Bob Ripley says there are many such cases on record where genius went unrewarded. Holbein, who painted one of the most priceless miniatures in the history of art, received exactly $25 for it. And the great Raphael painted his most famous Madonna on the top of a barrel.
On the top of a barrel? How come?
Well, you see, like all human beings, Mr. Raphael got hungry one night. So he walked into a restaurant and ordered a tremendous 25-cent meal. And when the check came, he couldn't pay for it. So, in payment for that two-bit meal, he painted a Madonna on the head of the shopkeeper's wine barrel. This same painting is today valued at more than $1 million, believe it or not.
I'll bet Bob Ripley has discovered many unusual stories behind famous works of art.
He has indeed. And in exactly 60 seconds, I'll tell you about one of the most amazing of them. First, though, let's listen to that man with the message.
How many of you young women under 35 know of the many opportunities open to those who join the nursing profession? Never before have such opportunities been available to young women who choose nursing for a career, because never before has there been in existence the long-range health plans so vast in scope which are now being carried out. The expansion of hospitals, public health programs, and industrial clinics, hospitalization plans which are making it possible for more people to have necessary care, has created a demand for nurses. Student nurses can look forward to such high rewards for service and ability as the day they may become head nurse, supervisor, director of nurses, hospital administrator, or a specialist in surgery, psychiatry, or some other interesting field. If you are under 35, a high school graduate or college student in good standing, check with your local hospital for information on how to apply for admission to an accredited school of nursing. Now back to Bob Ripley's Radio Auditorium.
Now, Gregory Abbott, you are going to present another of Bob Ripley's Believe It or Nots about a great work of art. Yes, Bill, and this is about the well-known picture of George Washington crossing the Delaware.
Oh, that's a famous bit of Americana.
Well, now, this famous bit of Americana was actually painted by a German living on the Rhine River, believe it or not. Furthermore, if Washington had ever overloaded boats of the type shown in the picture to such an extent, he would have drowned his entire army in the Delaware River. Also, Bob Ripley points out that this same painting shows the American flag flying at the bow of the boat.
Well, what's unusual about that?
That American flag wasn't created until a full year after Washington made his famous crossing, believe it or not.
Oh, I'll be doggone.
And now in Bob Ripley's dramatic sketch, we're going to hear a Believe It or Not that concerns three men, all of them great artists in their respective fields. One was William Hogarth, the painter. Another was Henry Fielding, the writer. And the third was David Garrick, the famous actor. These men were all close friends in the little circle of artists and litterateurs living in London during the 18th century.
Our scene opens in the year 1754 in the studio of William Hogarth, the painter. He is bidding goodbye to his writer friend Henry Fielding, who is about to leave for Portugal.
But seriously, Henry, I am going to miss you.
And I'm going to miss you, William. Especially am I going to miss that fine ale you serve.
Frankly, Henry, I don't see why you can't finish your novel here in England instead of rushing off to Portugal.
Unlike you, William, I am not a painter. When I look at the English landscape, it gives me nothing but the chills. I have no desire either to immortalize it or to endure it.
Well, just the same, I think it's quite inconsiderate of you to rush off like this before I got a chance to paint your portrait.
Nonsense. I shall be back in a few months, and I swear you shall have your chance to paint me. Though why you want to, heaven only knows.
Well, we've been friends a long time, Henry, and I haven't even so as much as a pencil sketch of you to remind me of your homely face while you're gone. Besides, if I paint you, I shall have every old biddy in England begging for a chance to buy it.
Why is it my charms are so terribly effective on little children and women over 50? You know, William, sometimes I wish I were a handsome actor, like David Garrick, instead of a writer.
Oh, speaking of David, reminds me, I promised we'd meet him in half an hour when his performance was over. You will join us for one last spree together before you leave, won't you?
No, I should like nothing better. And I warn you, William, I intend to absorb enough English ale to last my entire stay in Portugal. Come along.
Fielding went on to Portugal. 2 weeks after his departure, David Garrick, the third member of the group, went to call on Hogarth at his studio. When he got there, Garrick found his friend Hogarth staring into a blank canvas as if hypnotized. Hogarth looked up, saw the actor, and said,
"Hello, David. How is England's greatest actor?"
"Excellent. How is England's greatest painter today?"
"Not too well, I'm afraid."
"Why, what's wrong, William? Has your muse forsaken you?"
"Then you haven't heard about Fielding."
"Heard what? Only that he's in Portugal?"
"You certainly travel slowly, David. Henry Fielding died last week. I got word of it today."
"Died? Oh, that's terrible."
"He was a genius, David, and a very dear friend to me."
"Yes, I know. I'm sorry."
"I was going to paint him, you know. I'd always wanted to do his portrait. Now I don't even have a sketch of him."
"It's unbelievable that Fielding's dead. He was so alive, so enthusiastic about life."
"He promised that first thing he got back from Portugal, he'd come right up for a portrait. David, I'd give my right arm for even a pencil sketch of him now."
"Well, you shan't sit up here and brood all evening. Come and join me for some ale."
"No, no, David. Thank you very much, but I'd rather be alone tonight. You understand?"
"I understand. Perhaps you can paint him from memory."
"If only I could, David. If only I had a sketch, anything. Well, good night, David."
"Good night."
William Hogarth, concentrating on the blank canvas, lapsed into a daydream which soon became a deep sleep. Several hours later, he awakened to hear his studio clock strike.
"Who's there? Who is it?"
"Good evening, William."
"Who are you? What are you doing here?"
"I have come to be of service to you, William."
"I'm afraid I don't know who you are. Why do you cover your face like that?"
"I did not wish to shock you with a sudden appearance, William. Do you not recognize my voice?"
"You? No, it can't be."
"Look at my face, William."
"It is you. But they told me only today that you had died. They lied to me. It wasn't true."
"It was true, William."
"No. You're not. Why did you come back, Fielding?"
"You asked me to, and I promised. Remember?"
"You've come to pose for a portrait?"
"I have come to pose for a portrait."
"How can this be?"
"There are things I cannot reveal to you, William. Be happy that I'm here. I will do you only good, not evil."
"But you're a ghost. How can I possibly paint a ghost?"
"You can paint me. Come, we must hurry, for I am permitted only a few hours.
Very well. It's a miracle. But by heaven, I'll paint you as I have never painted before. Now, sit in that chair. Good. Now, face to the right a little. A little more. That's it. I'll wager this is the first time a man ever painted the portrait of a ghost.
And Hogarth did paint that portrait of a ghost. And that life portrait of the dead author Fielding exists today, and it is one of the most valuable of Hogarth's masterpieces.
But, Craig, that story concerns a ghost, and, well, there are no such things as ghosts. Are there?
Well, like everything else, Bill, that's a matter of opinion. However, in this case, I think we can say there was no ghost.
But Bob Ripley's sketch showed the ghost of Fielding coming back after his death in Portugal. Now, how could Hogarth have made that painting?
That's the believe it or not.
Well, I don't get you.
Well, that ghost, the one whose portrait William Hogarth painted, and whom he believed to be the ghost of Fielding, was a real live person, although Hogarth never suspected it.
Well, who was it?
None other than the actor David Garrick.
Garrick?
Yes. In later years, Garrick confessed that he had gone back and imitated Fielding so that William Hogarth, England's greatest portrait painter, might paint the portrait he had so hoped to have. Garrick was a great actor, so great that his imitation of Fielding's voice, makeup, and carriage completely fooled the dead man's best friend. That painting, the painting of Fielding's so-called ghost, is today one of the world's masterpieces, believe it or not.
In exactly 60 seconds, Gregory Abbott will be back with the answer to today's quiz question. Meanwhile, here's an important believe it or not that concerns you.
Government reports indicate food conditions in many European countries are more desperate than a year ago. If you want to help the hungry of Europe, there is an organization approved by the United States government which will guarantee delivery of a food package you purchase for only $10, a package containing 21 and a half pounds of food, amounting to 41,000 calories. Just send $10 to CARE, C-A-R-E, Cooperative for American Remittances to Europe, Incorporated. CARE is a nonprofit organization. Give your name and address and the name and address of the one to whom the package is to be sent. If you have no friend or relative in Europe in need, you may address your food package to a French orphan, a needy widow in Belgium, or to someone in any one of 15 European countries. Remember, receipt of your badly needed $10 food package is guaranteed by CARE. Send $10 to CARE, New York. Now for the answer to today's quiz question.
Well, Bill, did you get the answer to today's question? What North American city has more windmills than Holland?
I'm afraid not, Greg.
Well, the city is Merida, Mexico. By actual count, this city has more windmills than any other place in the world, including the whole of Holland. Believe it or not.
Oh, I see we have time left for a few more fascinating facts from Bob Ripley's radio sketchbook. What's on the drawing board?
Well, Bob Ripley has figured out a way whereby nobody has to work anymore. Believe it or not.
Oh, brother, tell me quick.
Well, it's really very simple. Now, there are 365 days in a year, right?
That's right.
And figuring 8 hours of sleep per day, that's 122 days.
Yeah, I'm right with you.
Subtracting those hours of sleep, that leaves 243 days a year for work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in each of those days, let's say you rest for 8 hours. That's another 122 days off, leaving exactly 121 days for work,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But 52 days a year are Sundays.
Oh, can't work on Sundays.
Oh, no. That leaves 69 days for work.
Well, how about Saturday afternoons off?
Okay. That gives us 26 more days off, leaving 43 days for work each year.
No time off for lunch and sickness and things like that?
Okay, we'll say an hour and 50 minutes for those things. That's another 28 days off.
Oh, boy, that leaves exactly 15 days of work a year.
Don't you want a 2 weeks vacation?
Completely slipped my mind. Say, that only leaves 1 day a year for work. That's wonderful.
Think you'd be able to make it through that 1 day?
I just happen to think I don't have to work that 1 day.
How come?
Because that's Labor Day, believe it or not.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.